born to die. That's what this season is all about. Remembering the one who came as a babe in the manger to die on a cross as our Savior. And I hope that each and every one of you have trusted him as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because without that, you got no hope for eternity. Amen. This church can't save you. This preacher can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. And he's the one that died on the cross to do for you what you could not do for yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Turn to Psalm 46 this morning. Psalm chapter 46, I want to speak to you this morning about be still. We'll read the entire psalm, all 11 verses, Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. No matter what the chaos, no matter what the destruction or trouble or problems we're facing, God's the refuge. In Sunday school this morning, Gary said stuck out to me. This world's broken. We are broken people. And Jesus Christ died on the cross to fix what was broken. That's the only hope that we have in all of this brokenness around us. And no matter how bad it gets because of that brokenness, there's one that we need to be fixed upon. Read on. He says, verse 3, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. That word there is it's a rest in a song. It means you stop and you pause. But in this, the idea is not only, of course, the Psalms were songs, they sang them. So it has that meaning, but also the idea is to stop and think about that. Just meditate upon that. The God that we have and all that he has done. And he goes on in this psalm and he says this, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. There's an anchor. There's a stability in all of this chaos and all of this brokenness. That's God in the midst. Verse 6, the heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. He is in complete control of it all. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And there again, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. It's not the United Nations. You realize they haven't stopped one single conflict in their entire existence. But God has. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cut the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. If you're a child of God this morning, that is, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care how good you try to be. None of that means anything. What means something is, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Received the payment that he made for you on the cross for your sins. That's the only thing that makes the difference. You're broken. You need to be fixed. That's what he did to fix you. If you're a child of God, you're not born into this world a child of God. You're born again to become a child of God. You're born into this world as a child of the devil. Ephesians 2 says it's the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And that's what we all are without Jesus Christ. Before that born-again experience, that personal relationship with him begins. But once you've had that, if you're a child of God this morning, you have one of the greatest privileges and one of the most powerful resources available to you that any human being could ever have. And that is the fact that through Jesus Christ, as a child of God, I have direct access to the throne of God in heaven. Anytime, anywhere, under any circumstance, I can go straight into his throne room. The story is told about when JFK was president, that his son, they called him John John then. I forget how old he was, 5, 6 years old, maybe not even that. But, you know, not anybody can walk into the Oval Office, the president's office. You got to be screened, and it's even more stringent now. But that little boy went in there anytime he wanted, because that was where daddy was. And as a child of God, he's my father. And I got as much or more privilege than little John John had with his father. Anytime I can go to him in prayer. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. That's what I, not getting what I deserve, you know. That whooping that I deserve, if I don't get it, that's mercy. And find grace to help in time of need. That's getting what I do not deserve, the grace to help. Mercy, not getting what I deserve. Grace, receiving what I don't deserve. Opposite sides of the spectrum. Both so important to us as children of God. We need to come to that throne. He says, boldly, to obtain that mercy and find that grace to help in our time of need. Anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance. You know, as you go through the Bible, it's filled with examples of people who prayed and God miraculously answered their prayer. In his power and his amazing ability, he was there and he met with them. And I could go on and on this morning and citing those various examples to you, but even more important than what we have recorded in the scriptures of what God has done in the past with others, right in this very room right now, there are people that could stand up and testify of, here's when I prayed and God was the only way that this could have come to pass. Van Knight's a good example. The doctor said he should have. Probably would have died normally. There's a miracle that took place there. And the people of this room and others around have prayed for him. And he's doing remarkably well. And on and on, the testimonies right in this room could go about the miracle working hand of God in our lives in response to our coming boldly to that throne for mercy and grace to help in the time of need. The power of prayer. The answers that God's given. And we have this great opportunity, this valuable resource that's so readily available to us. But you know what? Too often times we neglect it. We don't take advantage of one of the greatest privileges that we have as a child of God, to come to that throne of grace. And because of that, our lives are too often not what they ought to be, what God would desire that they ought to be. We miss out on the joy and peace that God so desires to have our lives filled with for that victorious life in Jesus Christ that's promised us in the scriptures. Part of our problem, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, maybe even more so, is we just get too wrapped up in the activities. We're immersed in activity and noise and distraction and all the things that go on around us, our responsibilities, and we don't take that time to be still and know that He is God. And I want to think about just that thought this morning, be still. So many ways we could go with this from this passage, but I just want to focus our minds on that for a moment here. Be still. What's that mean? How many of your parents said that to your kids? Be still! We need to do that with God. Be still from noise and distraction. The Bible tells us we're to pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're to pray all times for all things. And, you know, we can pray driving down the highway while you're at work. All kinds of ways and times that we can pray, and we ought to. But, you know, there needs to come a time also where we just do what He says here. Be still. Come apart. Go to Matthew chapter 6 for a second. Matthew chapter 6, people often call this and recite this as the Lord's Prayer. I don't believe He ever intended for us to recite this word for word. If He did, then the companion passage in Luke would have read exactly as it does here in Matthew chapter 6. It doesn't. But what it is a pattern for our prayer. But in that, He says this, Matthew 6:6, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, we can pray anytime, anywhere, and under any situation. But I think there should be some times in our lives, best if it's at least daily, where we do just what it said there, to go into our closet. I thought about this several weeks ago, well, maybe even a couple months ago, one Wednesday night in our prayer time. And, you know, I've worked several jobs throughout the course of my lifetime and had job reviews and different times when you have to sit down with the boss. And he says, come on in here a minute. And you step in, he says, close the door. Things about to get serious. We need to do that with God. You step in, you shut the door, and you sit down before Him. Entering that throne of grace. How many times do we do that? That's part of being still. Because our lives are filled with all this noise and all these distractions. Now, I really think that we have become afraid of silence in our society. We get uncomfortable when it's quiet. But God says, be still. Just get away from all of that for a time to calm your soul, quiet your spirit. And just be alone with God in secret, with everything else blotted out. None of those other things going on. I thought of the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Let me just read a couple of the verses of that. It starts out, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escape the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. The third verse goes on, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. You ought to do a study sometime through the scriptures on waiting on the Lord, where you just sit quiet before him, listening for that still small voice. When was the last time you had God speak to you in prayer? Have you ever been still enough for him to do so? Be still from the noise and distraction. We need that quiet time before him to refocus, to adjust our perspective. Because of all this chaos and all this turmoil and all this unrest that's going on in the world, there's a refuge for us before the throne of our God. We need that. Secondly, be still from activity. Man, I struggle with this. I'll get down on my knees and I'll start to pray, and all of a sudden my mind starts going on. Well, I need to do this, and I better write that down because I'll forget it, you know, before I get done praying. And the next thing I know, I'm not praying anymore. We just need to be still before him from all other activity. Just to shut it all out and say, God, I need this time before you right now. I need to shut the phone off. I need to shut the computer off. Need to shut the television off. Need to shut the radio. Need everything. Just God. All other activities shut out. But there's a couple of ways I want to look at this. So first is we need to cease from our self-effort. Look at Psalm 46 again. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Look at verse 7 again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolation he's made in the earth. The works of God, think about those. Go to Luke chapter 10 for a moment. Luke chapter 10. Luke 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they that entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, that is Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. There wasn't anything necessarily wrong with what Martha was doing. Service is an important part of being a Christian. Serve others. We're supposed to do that. That's what she was doing. The problem was she was doing that instead of what she should have been doing. And not only is she doing that instead of what she should have been doing, she's angry at Mary because she's not caught up in the activity that Martha is. She goes on, he says this, she's cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. I got things to get done and I need some help. And she's just sitting there with you doing nothing. No, she's not doing nothing. Look what he said. Verse 41, Jesus answered, said to her, Martha, Martha. Now there's a tenderness there. See that? He's not, "Why, you wicked woman." No, Martha, Martha, come down, come down. Thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. He says, Mary needs this right now, and you do too. In one place it says that he told the disciples to come apart and pray. Someone said, if you don't come apart, you will come apart. A lot of truth in that. That's Martha's problem. She's all worried about, it's all about what I'm doing and I got to do it. How am I going to get it done? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, not to fear. You think about Jacob, Abraham's son. Here was a man, a young man. He certainly, it was prophesied from his birth, before his birth, what he would be. But he was a conniver. He was a schemer. He was trying to figure out all things. Everything was done in his own strength. And he spent his entire life running, or most of it running. It wasn't until later that he learned to rest and wait, be still before God. And he still struggled with that quite a bit after that as well. But there were moments when he got it. And we get frustrated, we become weary, we become discouraged and defeated because we struggle in our own strength. And we haven't learned to cast our burdens upon him and allow him to sustain us. God says, I'm the one. I'm your help. I'm your hope. I'm your strength. I'm your stay. I'm your deliverer. He is everything that we need. And we're to come boldly to that throne of grace to obtain mercy and find the grace to help in the time of need. Be still. Stop! Be still. And know that he is God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He says, come, verse 8, behold the works of the Lord. I'm back in Psalm 46. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Think about what God has done, what God has accomplished, and rest in him. Be still from our activity. You know what else we need to be still from? Argument and murmuring. I don't know how many times. It's probably more, and I know it's more with the boys than with the girls in our family. But you'll be dealing with something, and immediately the debate starts. I say, hush. I don't care what you've got to say. Right now, you need to listen. You need to hear what I've got to say. Just be quiet. Be still. And we do that with God too. God says, hush. Put aside your argument. Put aside your debate, your excuses. And just listen to what I got to say. That still small voice. God says, I got something to tell you. We need to, that's what Peter's problem was. I mean, again, you study through the life of Peter throughout the Bible, and man, he's just all the time, pulling out the sword. And the Lord says, put that sword away, Peter. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? This isn't time to fight. But Lord, I'll die for you. No, you won't, Peter. Because just a short time later, he denied the Lord three times to a maid. He had the courage before the soldiers, but a little maid standing around the fire got him to buckle and cave. And repeatedly, he did that. Well, not me, Lord, I'm there. No, you're not, Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. And that's the way we are a lot of times. God says, be still. Just put your arguments aside and listen to what I've got to say. Be still from the arguments of prayer. That quiet acceptance and submission to our God. That's what he's looking for. Because he knows it all. He's got it all under control. And that doesn't mean that things aren't going to get difficult and you won't have to go through some things, but God's there with you through that thing. And even though it might be difficult, there's that peace that God can give that passes all understanding that can keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So we need to be still from the noise and the chaos. Be still from the activity. Be still from worry and fear. Look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. Over there, 1 John, it says, fear hath torment, but perfect love casteth out fear. God has given us a spirit of love, not the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. I believe it's 1 Timothy 1:7. God doesn't want us to be worried and fear. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But too often times, we as God's people are just caught up in fear. It's promoted, certainly. There's a whole industry out there that is all about fear and panic. And that's all they do is feed us to be fearful and fill a panic about things. But God says, no. You need to be still. You need to get away from that. You need to shut it off. You need to close the door and get into the closet with me for a while. And just wait before me. And get rid of that worry and that fear. Take that yoke off and put mine on. Here he says this in Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Whatever you're doing, if God's not a part of it, you're wasting your time. Doesn't matter whether it's what Martha was doing or building this church or whatever the case may be. If God's not a part of it, it's a waste of time. He says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It doesn't matter how great our military is. If God's not with us, forget it. It's going to collapse. You want to go through and study the history of Israel sometime. Now, I know Israel is in a position of disobedience right now. God is, in a sense, put them on a shelf. He's put them aside, and he's dealing with the church right now, the Gentiles. But that doesn't mean God has totally forgotten them. One of the most amazing things that took place was in 1948, when God brought the nation of Israel, which had been dispersed around the world, back into existence in the homeland that God had promised to them millennium before, to Abraham. That land belongs to them, not the Palestinians. That's a made-up people. There is no nationality called the Palestinians. That's made up by the news mafia. That land belongs to Israel. And in 1948, through the Balfour Declaration, that thing miraculously came back into being. And even since then, before then and after then, you see different times when they should have been wiped out. Hitler tried it, which led to the Balfour Declaration. And since then, it's been right after that that it was tried again. And miraculously, God intervened and preserved his people. You see, if the watchman has it, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. When God pulled his hand off of Israel, as we're studying in the book of Isaiah, there was nothing they could do to prevent that. First, the Assyrians came in, took the north captive. Then the Babylonians, 125 years later, came in, took them captive. And God warned that would happen if they turned their backs upon them. And that led to the desolation they were in up until 1948. And they're still not where they ought to be, but God's getting ready because God's keeping the city. God has a plan and purpose. Except God do it, it's all worthless. Verse 2, it says this, it is vain for you. So now we're getting personal. You, to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. You have trouble sleeping at night? Maybe it's because you're not taking that time to be still before him during the day, or maybe even at night. Maybe God doesn't want you still at night because he says, hey, we need to talk. We need to get in that secret place for a little while. God gives us sleep. But sometimes we don't have it because we all filled with this worry and this fear instead of trusting it to him. Being still before him. Let me read again. And bid me at my father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief. I mean, have you stayed on your knees before God, quiet before him? Till the peace came, till the burden was lifted, till the joy returned. I just don't have time for that. You ought to make time. Be still before our God to get from him all that he has for us. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Because it's God's burden. You can't carry it. You're not to be full of that care. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I'm to take my burden to the Lord and leave it there. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a promise. Have you ever seen that promise fulfilled in your life? Things bother us all the time. You can't keep that from happening. It's how you respond. What do you do with it? God, this is your problem. I can't fix it. I can't address it. It's beyond my ability to deal with this, God. I give it to you. And I'll slip into your yoke, which is easy and light, and find rest unto my soul. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Quiet. Still. Relieved. Released. And refreshed. That's what God wants of us. That calmness of spirit that will see you through the trials and the troubles and the heartaches and the sorrows of life, regardless of what they may be. One of the hymns that we often sing is, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet and trials should come, let this blessed assurance control. How's the next part go? But Christ hath regarded my helpless estate. It is well. It is well with my soul. You know where that song was written? A man, a wealthy man, who owned property in Chicago that was destroyed in the Chicago fire, the great Chicago fire. Lost tremendous amount of holdings because of that. He sent his wife and children to England while he tried to get some things squared away, and he was going to follow them. A short time after they left, he got a telegram. I forget exactly how it stated, something like, saved alone. Telegram from his wife, saved alone. You see, the ship had encountered a storm and sunk. And his wife was the only one that survived. All his children gone. Sometime later, he booked passage to go to England. I think it was maybe to even meet her. And he asked the captain if he would stop as best as he could in the place where the ship had sunk and taken his daughters. I think it was daughters, right? As he stood on the deck of that ship in that spot, the words to that song came to him, and he wrote them. It is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say. It is well. It is well with my soul. I know some of you folks are facing some tough things right now. Would you like to compare it to him? Maybe somebody is in more dire straits than he was. But you can still say, if you'll learn to be still before him, that God is your refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast into the midst of the sea. Because God is my refuge. It is well with my soul. And you only get there by those times of being still before God, to allow his peace, his comfort, to take hold of you. and relieve the burden. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, we are in a very troublesome time, Father. There are so many uncertainties out there, both on a national scale and even on some personal scales as well. Help us, O God, to make time to be quiet before you, to be still, and to know that whatever turmoil, whatever torment, whatever trouble we might face, to know that you are a refuge, that very present help in time of trouble, and that we may learn not to fear, but to rest in you as our Savior. Oh God, speak to hearts this morning. I pray that this message will be a help and a comfort to many who may be struggling right now with some things. And Father, if there's someone here this morning that's never trusted you as Savior, God, help them to understand that what you have done is all that needs to be done. There's nothing they can add to it. There's nothing that they can benefit from other than trusting you as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak to those hearts and draw them to you, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. 204 in hymn books, please.